Hello, and welcome to a special episode of Tibble Nibbles. As I'm sure you're all aware, all the restaurants are basically shut right now, so I can't really go out and try anywhere new. And so we are going to try something new today. So I'm here with my friend Stu, who is doing all of the editing for the podcast now that I've actually decided to get someone in to do the things properly. And what we're going to do essentially is pick some topics, chat about it. We both have pretty strong views about food in general. And so we are going to start with talking about pubs and pub food.
Oh, Tibble's Nibbles always makes me so hungry.
You've got to have steak.
Don't get nice in pubs.
Yeah, well, as in beef tallow.
Tibble's Nibbles. Wow, he loves his food.
As you can imagine, we've been to the pub quite a lot over the last sort of 40 years or so. And so we've been to good ones, we've been to bad ones. And so what should we start with, Stu?
Why don't we start at the beginning? What if you go into a pub and you're about to order off the menu, what do you expect there to be on a pub menu? What does there need to be?
Oh, that's a very good question. I was thinking about this earlier today, and I think you've got to have steak. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You've got to have a burger.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
You've got to have a salad of some kind.
I'm not sure
whether you're going to order it.
I must admit, I do actually, in a pub, I do like a steak and a side salad, especially if I'm trying to low carb a little bit.
Yeah.
That's quite good. But I don't want it to be a posh salad. It just needs to be literally some green leaves and maybe, you know.
When was the last time you saw a Ploughman's on the menu?
There is a pub in Blakeney, up in East Anglia, up on the top, by Cromer, between Cromer and King's Lynn.
Yeah.
And the one of the pubs on the coast there, they're well known for their crabs, but one of the coasts, they at least the last time I was there, they have pickles and things on the bar, so you can have a Ploughman's and you can pick your own pickles from a sort of fixings bar of pickles on the actual bar itself. It is pretty cool. It is cool.
I think there needs to be sausage and mash and gravy. I quite like to see that. Something a bit exotic.
Such as?
Like a Thai curry or something, like just a little bit out of left field, for in case you fancy something different.
When I first met my wife, when she was my girlfriend, I always told her never ever order a rice-based dish from a pub because she would only always ever be disappointed.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
Yeah, I mean, just don't order rice from a pub.
No, indeed. So what else? What else should be on the menu, do you think?
Have some kind of fish dish.
Yes.
I mean, obviously a lot of the pubs in London, they go for the traditional fish and chips.
Yeah.
They can't just be fish and chips. It has to be traditional fish and chips.
Yes. What would make fish and chips not traditional?
I don't know. Okay, here's one for you, Tibbs, and you're gonna like this one. If fish and chips is traditional, then surely the choice of fat the chips are cooked in has to be traditional.
Yeah, well, as in beef tallow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because why call it traditional?
That's very true.
That word traditional is just there for the tourists.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And I have to say, having been to the Black Country Museum many, many times, and the highlight of that was two things. One was chain making. I don't know why they made chains there, but they always seem to. And also going to the chippy there and having proper traditional fish and chips made with beef tallow.
Yes, there's a place in London that does it. There's a couple of places. I think maybe this is another podcast chat about chips.
Quite possibly.
So let's go back to pubs. So fish and chips on a pub menu, burger, steak, and the steak should be the most expensive thing on the menu.
Yes, of course.
No matter what price range you're looking at. Weekends.
Roast dinner, obviously.
Pub roast dinner.
And should they have more than one? We're going to get on to roast dinners, I think, in another episode.
Mm.
What roast should they have?
Well, pork and beef, they're the main two.
Pork and beef. I always notice that lamb is missing, and I have to say lamb is the one that I almost always choose.
That's a very, very interesting point. Genuinely.
Because I think if you think about traditional British, how it should be, lamb, I mean, particularly where we grew up in the West Midlands, you know, on the way into Wales, there was a lot of lamb.
Yeah.
And we used to eat an awful lot of it because it was significantly cheaper than pork and beef. And so we used to have it more often, and I think, and it was always... I did notice it was always usually a pound cheaper.
I don't know.
If he had roast dinner, I think.
I don't know. As than beef?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I see that. I was thinking you were talking about in the shops. It's like, I don't know. I wasn't looking at the meat prices in 1988, so I don't know. You're right, though, especially in London. Maybe it's different elsewhere. I don't know. I mean, obviously, we are slightly London-centric because that's where we live, so that's our point of reference now. But you're right. I always go for the roast beef. However, there are exceptions, and that is if I can see if it's slow cooked pork belly.
Yes.
And actually, yeah, if it's a decent leg of lamb or something, or shoulder slow cooked again. Yeah, no, lamb's good. Yeah. Lamb's good.
I still think one of the best lamb dishes I've ever had was your slow cooked lamb over potatoes.
Thank you very much. Again, maybe we'll talk about food we've cooked in a future episode as well. But chicken, never have the chicken.
No.
Pub roast chicken. I mean, I don't think I've, with the exception of the jugged hare in the city,
yes,
the Barbican, which does, I mean, it's not really a pub. It's a restaurant masquerading as a pub. But yeah, they do a whole chicken, which I definitely didn't eat on my own. And that was quite good. But other than that, half a roast chicken, no, just it's always dry. It's never
good. Yeah, because you can't really, the others, because it's a big, because they're usually big joints, you can cook them and hold them. Chicken, you pretty much have to serve straight away, don't you?
And let's face it, you can get a chicken for like $2.95 from Lidl. I mean, you can just cook it at home yourself and it's way cheaper. Yeah. Whereas, as you say, you know, big joints and things, they're expensive, especially if you live on your own or even just with a small family. It's just, there's no point.
Yeah, 100%. Mm. And so what about a chicken dish?
A chicken dish. And you're right, it's probably going to be some kind of curry, but have it with chips, not rice, because don't eat rice in pubs.
That's quite funny. So... So let's talk about starters.
Cut that bit out where we talked over each other. That's what I was thinking about. I was thinking about starters. Now, maybe we should go back and just define what's a pub, what's a restaurant, and what's a gastropub.
Okay. Yes.
And, you know what does it actually mean? Because pub food, you know, like you said, we grew up in the West Midlands, and you know, we might go out for a pub meal. But actually, it was sort of like a restaurant thing with starters and main courses and desserts. Now, if I go to the pub for food now, it's usually, you know, also accompanied with beers, and it's about the whole experience. And I don't really necessarily have to have starters, and you know, a main course is usually hearty enough with a few pints surrounding it to keep me going.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I grew up in a small village. There were three pubs. There was one pub that never did food under any circumstances. There was another one that was like the posh pub, and that one did do food. And then there was another one that if you're having a party, they would put food on, but it would literally be chicken in a basket, chicken nuggets, sort of stuff.
Which one of those three was the Bell?
The Bell was the third one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So which was the food one then?
The food one was the Plough up on the top.
Was that towards Elgar's birthplace?
Yeah, it was right next to Elgar's birthplace. Yeah. So for those of you who
Past it, but I've never been in.
Yeah. So that one was the posh pub because it was the end of the village where all the posh people lived and they could probably afford to go out for lunch.
And that was good food though, was it?
It was decent. I mean, yeah, but if you look at it by the standards of the day, it was decent. And then you had the Dewdrop, which was like the drinking pub.
On the main road.
On the main road, actually, to be fair, I went to a few years ago and the food there was absolutely outstanding.
Well, that's, of course, one of the things, isn't it, is that, you know, since the smoking ban, most pubs now do food, whereas you used to just get drinkers' pubs, didn't you?
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, a lot of places now do food.
So I think the difference between a pub and a restaurant for me is at a pub you go to the bar to order, mainly.
Ah, good call. Good call.
And you generally don't tip because you pay for the food up front. Whereas a restaurant, you're going to get seated by somebody, and then a gastropub is somewhere in between where there's a proper bar and there are people in there just having a beer, but most of it is given over to a restaurant-style seating where you get seated by somebody, you have somebody who comes to your table to take your order.
It's a term that's not used much anymore. Gastropub was right, kind of really cool about 10 years ago, wasn't it?
Probably more like 15, but yeah.
When you reminisce, it's always add 5 to the number of years something was, isn't it? But everything was, especially in London, it's like, oh, gastropub, you know, get rid of the plates, stick everything on wooden boards or slates, cook bits of the animal that no one's eaten for 50 years, like the arseholes and eyelids, and then just go for it. I mean, actually, I was going to say, pig's trotters and pig's ears are the one thing I think about when someone says gastropub. There's a reason why people don't eat that.
I don't know. Some things are nice. I mean, some things came back because of gastropubs. Lamb shanks is a great example.
Lamb shanks taste nice.
They do. I must confess, I don't think I've ever eaten trotters.
I tried cooking them once and they were just... I'm not squeamish. I'm quite happy to try anything.
Yeah.
I like offal. steak and kidney pie is still the far superior pie in my mind.
Yeah.
But, you just can't really get it anywhere. It's always just steak and onion now. I thought I'd try it, but yeah, a pig's ear. I ate it. It just tasted like a pig's ear. It's a bit like when you go for dim sum and you go, oh, I'll have the chicken feet because, you know, it's a bit different and weird. And actually, it's like, no, actually, just I'm chomping on a chicken's foot.
That's a very good point. It's like, yeah, I think pig's ears may well, or at least they look to me like inferior crackling.
Yeah, because they're like floppy.
Okay, so crackling shouldn't be floppy. That's good to know.
There we go. That's what this podcast is about. We are telling the listeners crackling shouldn't be floppy.
Oh, and pies.
You can't have a pub menu, going back to like 3 points ago. You can't have a pub menu without a pie, sure.
No, you can't. And also I'm thinking it needs to be a pie and not a stew with a hat.
A top crust, is it?
Oh, God. Yeah. Just kill me now. If I see one of those, I'm like, yeah, that's come out the microwave and that thing's ready done. It's just been warmed up, hasn't it?
Well, you can get full pies that are warmed up in the microwave. Mm. You know, our friend's pub, which I hope still exists, because I think it might have shut down about 2 days ago due to various reasons. What's it called? Pie Meister.
Yeah, Pie Minister.
Yeah, Pie Minister. I read the letters and don't know quite how to say it.
Pie Meister's good, though. I like that name. I might copyright.
You know, sort of an industrial microwave on the back and various pies and sort of mashed potato and things. But actually, flavour-wise, they were quite good. Mm. I quite liked it. And they had different varieties and things. It was sort of like very British fast food.
Yeah. And how was it's always the pastry that struggles if you might start microwaving things.
I mean, you know, it's not brilliant, but it was way better than my expectation. Therefore, I liked it.
No, fair enough. Or a nice pudding. You haven't had a good steak and kidney pudding. Like, when was the last time you saw anything with suet in on the menu anywhere?
I think they're banned inside the M25.
You reckon?
Yeah. Suet pastry is not allowed inside the M25.
Did you come to the Hawksmoor Beef Feast?
Yes.
Yeah, that we'll have to talk about that another time, because that was one of the most ridiculous meals I've ever had.
Again, we can do a whole episode on Hawksmoor, probably.
Yeah, quite possibly. So we've talked the food that's on the menu. So let's talk about good examples and bad examples of places that you've been.
I'll go back to that place in Blakeney that had the sort of the fixings bar for pickles.
Yeah.
It wasn't brilliant food. Actually, no, I've been there for food as well since then with my sort of extended family. And I've never had a bad meal in there.
Okay.
It's not going to set the world on fire.
Yeah.
But to quote what it probably says on its own menu, it's good, honest, pub food, big portions, decent price. Go in there happy. Whether you're going in there for a tuna and mayonnaise baguette with a few crisps on the side, or whether you go in there for a T-bone steak and all the trimmings in the evening. They also have quite an interesting special board of various stews and pies and less standard stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's quite good.
And so are your standards less high for eating in a pub than they are eating in a restaurant at the same price?
Well, that's the price thing, you see. I would hope that a pub was cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, chances are it's going to be cheaper. Well, it's going to be 12.5% cheaper because you're not tipping.
What do you think? I mean, you go to a lot more places than I do.
Yeah.
I would expect a pub to be cheaper than a restaurant.
Yes. I think the thing is, I generally wouldn't choose to go into a pub if there's a restaurant option nearby, unless I've heard good things. And so I think generally I would find that my expectations would be lower. Whether my standards would be lower, I'm not quite sure. But certainly I would be less fussed and less annoyed if pub food isn't quite as good as I think it should be, rather than if I go into a restaurant. Because I do think that part of the allure of going into a pub is that you're in a place where you can drink and you've got people sat at the bar and it's a more convivial atmosphere. And you're there for the atmosphere rather than solely for the food, which I think generally when you're going to a restaurant, that's what you're doing.
Yes. But at the same time, so therefore I would expect the food to be more expensive and slightly more exclusive in a restaurant.
Yes.
I mean, I can't imagine me ever going to a restaurant and say it's a restaurant where you know it's going to be sort of, you know, with starter, main course and dessert, you're looking at sort of like, you know, £50-60.
Yeah.
Which, you know, these days in London isn't unreasonable in a restaurant. I mean, that's not the
not at all.
You know, that's pretty standard. I wouldn't then be ordering traditional fish and chips as my main course. I think the actual food would be different.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Personally, I don't tend to go to British restaurants. I don't go to restaurants that serve the kind of stuff they have in pubs, generally.
Yeah, no, that's very true. There is a good place, actually, we might be worthwhile going to when this whole chaos has gone. There's a place in Marylebone called The Gunmakers, which is excellent. They do traditional British, actually essentially traditional British pub food. It's more than a gastro pub because there's a pub upstairs and then there's a nice restaurant downstairs. So it really blurs the lines between is it a pub, is it a restaurant? And I'd argue that when you get downstairs, it's definitely a restaurant. Mm-hmm. But they do, you know, fish and chips and mussels and various other things that you tend to find on traditional pub menus.
I'd go there with you, but it wouldn't be my first choice of restaurant.
No, indeed.
Because I'd probably want to spend that money and, well, I don't know, but something a little different.
Yeah. What's your favourite pub?
Well, pub food.
Have you been anywhere where you've walked in and you've gone, this is going to be terrible?
I don't know. Let me answer the first question first, just for editing continuity purposes. I mean, we talked about the pub around the corner from here in Camden.
Yeah.
I think that was good.
Colonel Fawcett?
Yeah. I think the blending a question I was going to sort of say earlier is that, you know, in fact, some of the best pub food I've had would be, you know, as a kid going out for meals because, you know, we tended to go to, you know, more the pub end of restaurants just because of the preferences with my grandparents and things at the time. And the one that really sticks in my mind is Royal Oak in Broadwas, so between Worcester and Hereford. And I can remember, like, you're picking your own steak out of a glass case, and so you could actually choose the steak that was going to be cooked for you. It was really interesting and a really cool thing to do. I'm not sure, if I'm honest, if the food was brilliant, but at the time, with my experiences, absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone had a good time and was able to order what they wanted, cooked how they liked it.
Yes.
Brought up on that. So, I mean, I've been to great pubs, but they don't always stick in mind. What about you? I mean, because you reviewed loads of places.
Yeah.
So what sticks in your mind is kind of like some of the highlights?
So I think probably the biggest highlight and the biggest surprise for me actually was the Colonel Fawcett. So when I first moved into central London, about 6 or 7 years ago now, I took a wander down. There's a little plaque outside saying, you know, Roast Dinner of the Year, National Roast Dinner of the Year, I think 2014 it probably would have been.
Because that's the thing.
I went in there to get some food. Had my parents came up to visit and see the place. And I took them out there for lunch and I was absolutely blown away. I thought the Sunday roast was really superb. And I've been in there probably 5 or 6 times. I've been there for brunch. I've had dinner there a couple of times. I've had lunch and the food is absolutely superb. That's probably the most memorable one I've had over the years.
I like the way you use the word memorable because as we were talking about like off air earlier, I've been there with you and my family and I can't remember what I had to eat. I know it was good, but memorable it was not, unfortunately. So yeah, that was kind of strange.
I think that might well be a thing about pubs in general. There's often very little to separate one pub from another. Actually, another pub that I very much enjoyed was a pub down in Somerset. I'm guessing it must be called the Vobster Inn, which is near a place where I go diving. I actually wound up going there on Valentine's Day by myself. I didn't realise it was Valentine's Day because I'm that single. And so I rocked up and they went, oh, do you want to stay for dinner? Because I was staying there overnight. And I went, yes, that'd be lovely. And they went, oh, okay, well, we'll try and fit you in among the couples. And so I went back for dinner after I'd, you know, had a shower and got ready. You walked into the pub and on the left was all of the lovely hearts and flowers and for the couples and all the couples. And on the right-hand side, there was a table for one, no decoration, which was really funny. But having said that, the food was lovely. It was had mushroom soup.
Did you have the special Valentine meal for yourself?
I didn't. I did get three heart-shaped chocolates for me to eat while I cried back in my room. I had mushroom soup with very nice bread, which was lovely. And then I had a kipper risotto, which, as you say, you go to a pub and you expect the pub classics. And it's very difficult for me quite often not to have the steak or not to have the burger or have things that I absolutely know that I like. And I'm a bit of a creature of habit and I have to sort of make myself not order these things. I couldn't remember the last time I had a risotto, actually. And I had that with kippers and it was really nice, basically like a dinner version of kedgeree, which was excellent.
And so you've also essentially blown my one rule out of the water as well, so that's okay.
Rules
are there to be broken, surely.
But they're like, I never really think of risotto as rice, though.
It is the main constituent ingredient.
But it's not really like rice on its own. It's like rice in sauce, which I think is probably a bit more forgivable.
It's the main meal, isn't it? It's not like on the side or something.
Yeah, exactly. Where have you been? Can you remember any places where you've been where you've gone, this is beyond awful?
At the Checkers. I mean, one of my favourite pubs. Yeah. when it first changed from being the kind of dirty old man pub that I remember when I first lived in Walthamstow to...
It was very nasty, for those of you who haven't been.
To what it has been recently. But it's always been a good drinking pub.
Yes.
It became a little bit more hipster and cask ale, you know, a few years ago now. Which, again, add five to what I say it was.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I remember going there. We used to go on a Friday night and do karaoke and get hammered. Yeah. Which is what most people in their 20s do, I think. But yeah, no, we went for a Sunday lunch. I remember sitting there going, like, it's like £5 for Sunday lunch. We should come back and we should do Sunday lunch. And it was, the gravy had that funny sort of rainbow oil slick in a puddle kind of sheen to it.
I've never seen that.
Really thinly sliced roast beef has this sort of rainbow colour in it. I think you get it in sort of like dodgy cuts of topside or something.
Oh, okay,
it was wafer thin. I once years ago bought myself a roast in a mill for one, and it was gross. And I think literally it was that on a plate served up. To be honest, if I'm being really picky, the Chequers always promises so much with its food, and it very rarely delivers what I want it to. There are moments where it's brilliant, and then I think they changed. And it's decent, it's all right. It's just, I always want it to be the best, and it isn't quite the best.
And it's quite expensive what it is as well, I think. Mm. I found when I've been there a couple of times.
There's a pub in the village of Walthamstow Village.
Yeah.
And that does really good food. And obviously, I can't remember the name of it. I had a roast dinner, it was quite good. And my wife had a fillet of mackerel with a sort of burnt butter and capers sauce, but it was more like capers, oil and salsa. It was sort of like a combination between the two. And I thought, well, you know, don't order that. It's going to be a bit weird. It was absolutely stunning.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Absolutely stunning. Going back to the memorable thing.
Yeah.
Going out with your friends or family, having a roast dinner in a pub, what's memorable about that?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, like, you have a great time. It doesn't mean you're not enjoying yourself. It doesn't mean it wasn't great food. But the places I really remember are ones where there are items on the menu that either, and as you said earlier, as a creature of habit, the ones that I don't normally order.
Yeah.
I can remember a pub, Poolway. I had the whole place in season. That was wonderful. And I wouldn't normally order that in a pub, but it was kind of what this place was known for.
Yeah.
So, you know, pint of local ale and a fish pulled out of the sea just around the corner. What's not to like?
No, indeed. That's a very good point. I do think that food tastes different when there's salt in the air.
Fish does, definitely.
Yeah, fish does. So we've talked about main food. What about desserts?
I'm not really a desserts person. I'm normally quite happy with just a bit of ice cream.
Yeah. Cheese board.
That is a favourite of mine.
Yeah, local cheeses would be always good on a pub menu if you can find it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sticky toffee pudding is always the one that I go on about.
Yeah, I mean, that's your thing. I have to have that. I mean, that's the photograph of the podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, basically, I order it and so often I'm disappointed because I've been to places where they've been truly spectacular and they've obviously been homemade. And then you go somewhere where it's definitely bought in out of a tub or whatever it is.
It's just a sweet cake.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not quite the same.
I went for a pub lunch in Bromyard, where my parents now live. And it sticks in my mind because I walked in there with £11 cash.
Yeah.
Don't take cards behind the bar.
Right.
but I still managed to get myself 2 pints of local ale and a steak lunch with all the trimmings for £11.
That's amazing.
It was £6.95 for gammon. £7.95 for steak with all the trimmings. And it was a reasonable sort of 8-ounce steak.
Yeah.
But it came on a proper steak plate. Do you remember those steak plates?
Steak plates. Like
my nan had steak plates.
Yeah.
Little sharp knives as well. I couldn't believe it. I mean, for the price of, let's be honest, a coffee and a Pret sandwich, I had a sit-down meal that was wonderful.
Fantastic.
Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, I have to say, you do get very used to expensive prices for places in London.
Mm. You know, easily you can do £10 on your lunch, and that's just a sandwich and a, as I said, a sandwich and a coffee.
Yeah, very much so. Same.
Oh.
Tibbles Nibbles, the amateur food review.
Okay, well, so that's the end of our pub episode. I would really love some feedback, because obviously this is a quite big departure from what I've done with my restaurant reviews in the past. So if you like them, please let me know. If you don't like them, please let me know, but a little bit quieter. And then we're going to continue this. So just to give you a little bit of a taster, I think we're going to be talking steaks, burgers, curry, whatever else we can think of, really, in terms of places that we go fairly regularly and food that we are very passionate about.
Hmm.
And I think we'll push on. We might well have to do a pie one.
I think a pie.
Because I have some quite controversial views on pies that I think will make you very angry, Stu. And I want to capture that for posterity.
So just because you're upset that I talked about kidneys earlier, is that one?
Not particularly. I do like kidneys, though. So, yeah, so thank you very much. So make sure you check out the website, tibblenibbles.com. There probably isn't going to be much written about it on the website. Or you can check out my Instagram, which I think has got a grand total of 7 pictures on now, which is tibblenibblesblog. And you can find, and you can also email me, tibblenibbles@gmail.com. So thank you very much, Stu, for your time. And thank you very much in advance for doing all of the editing.
No, thank you. And just also mention that this isn't the end of Tibble Nibbles as it is. It's just that you're going to go takeaway rather than to the restaurant.
Yeah, so I think in the middle of next week, I think we're going to try. I think I have 700 restaurants available on delivery because of where I live in very central London. So I think probably what we're going to be doing is trialing some takeaways. We haven't quite decided what we're going to eat, but if you could think of some cuisine that you would like to hear us review, we'd certainly be interested to hear about that. So thank you very much, Stu, for your time. And thank you very much, everybody. And we look forward to speaking to you next time.